Welcome back to another episode of the On Deck Circle podcast. I am your host, Nick Zanaboni. You can find me on Twitter at nzanaboni93. This podcast is brought to you by the Fantasy Six Pack. Make sure you check out all the great stuff we got going on over there. Dave's rankings, my Dynasty Player of the Week, Jason's, I think it's buy sell. Let's bring him in here so that I can actually get that correct. Unless Dave's still naked. It is buy sell, correct?
Yeah, it's correct. Buy sell publishes on Fridays, so check that out.
Nice. Yeah, mine I think is Thursdays. Might be tomorrow. But,
we need to get on that. Yeah. But hey, we are, 2 days away from the second Christmas of the year, opening day. Pushed back a week this year, but hey, only 1 week, so yeah. I am all for, I'm sick of spring training. I am ready for meaningful baseball, which will be here in 2 days.
Man, there's nothing that bums me out more than the day after opening day.
I agree. You're ready.
Baseball, you're like, I'm all in. Like, who's pitching the next day? Nope, no one, because 99% of the teams do not have a game.
Yeah, I don't know why baseball does that. It's been going on for a while now. Like, everyone plays on that opening day for the most part, and then Friday it's just. Yeah, exactly.
It's really
which upset. I don't know if the Sox or Cubs play in town here, but yeah, it's supposed to be rainy all week, so there's most likely gonna be rain outs on Thursday.
That's the worst. Come on, like, just fix it. Just make it not rain.
Or just make all of us Northerners go play, in the South somewhere or play in a dome the first weekend.
Exactly. All right. Hopefully Dave is fully clothed. Dave, come on down. Or hopefully he's not fully clothed.
I was always fully clothed. I just had to take off the sweatshirt that I was wearing.
Okay.
Because I wanted to show off. I wore my perfect draft shirt here tonight.
Nice.
So,
compliments of Dynasty One Stop.
No, I paid for it. Lazy fucking.
Well, yeah, but he's
cheap son of a bitch.
So, his logo's on there.
Let's get right into things, because speaking of cheap sons of bitches, the Detroit Tigers kind of stole Austin Meadows from the Tampa Bay Rays, and I actually wrote up an article on this that got published today, and I think kind of the big takeaway from this is just because one team wins a trade does not necessarily mean that the other team loses the trade. Now, that seems kind of silly to be like, well, wait a minute. When you look at this trade on paper, the Tigers obviously have won this trade. Especially in the short term. We'll see what happens because, Isak Paredes and about the 60th overall pick, roughly, is going to go to the Rays. And the Tigers get arguably an all-star corner outfielder. So you look at that and go, well, yeah, the Tigers absolutely win that trade. Like, that does, Paredes and that pick are not worth Austin Meadows. But we know that the Rays don't make stupid trades. They don't make dumb moves. And so they kind of have addition by subtraction. And that's kind of where it gets lost in translation on this trade is, yes, if you just simply look at what the Tigers gave up and what the Tigers got, yes, the Tigers win that at least probably this year, and maybe well into the future. But what it allows the Rays to do is very similar to when they traded Willy Adames. They traded Willy Adames to make room for Wander Franco. The Rays traded Austin Meadows to make room for Josh Lowe. So, if you were to consider the fact that if you were to make the trade, Paredes, Josh Lowe, and the pick for Meadows. Now all of a sudden you go, oh, okay. Yeah, that's not bad. That's pretty fair. So, it's a little bit weird in that, on paper, yes, the Tigers destroyed him in this trade, I think. But in real life, in reality, they have a Austin Meadows replacement. They get a guy that they want to get at bats. I mean, Meadows is only making $4 million this year. He's going into a second year of arbitration, so he's going to start to get a little bit more expensive than what the Rays like. But this is what the Rays do. Rays always sell a guy a year early because they're constantly having to recycle value because they don't want their payroll to go over $70 million. So they're getting rid of a fairly cheap player while he still has a ton of value, and they're just replacing it with somebody that they feel is relatively equal. That's my take on the whole thing. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's not often you think the Rays are the ones that are losing trades. They're usually ones fleecing everybody in the trades. But I think, you know, this is a great deal for Detroit. And it gives them that solid left-handed power bat in the middle of the lineup. And I think now we're starting to see a little bit of signs of life here in your Tigers here, Dave. You know, we got a nice outfield there with Grossman, Badu, and Meadows now. Mm-hmm. You know, got the, you know, starting to see a little bit of maybe, you know, Torkelson we'll talk about a little bit here. Yeah, maybe it's in that little bit of a contention window. I mean, obviously the pitching needs to be improved a little bit, but I mean, hey, that AL Central, other than the Sox, it's pretty much wide open there. So kind of nice to see, I'm sure, from you as a Tigers fan.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, with there being an extra wild card spot now, that, you know, the Tigers have a real opportunity here. You know, I was super bummed as a Tigers fan whenever, you know, the Riley Green news came out, because I got to the point where I was like, okay, I think we're going to see Riley Green, and I think we're going to see Spencer Torkelson, and the offense isn't too bad. And if our pitching can be okay, I don't think we can beat the White Sox, but we don't have to. We just need to make the playoffs. Tigers make the playoffs, losing the first round, that's a successful year. It just is, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when he went down, you know, that was kind of a bummer. And I had kind of made a joke that, you know, boy, I'd sure love to see him sign Conforto. Like, that would be a nice addition. Yeah. Not that I wouldn't have liked it even if Riley Green was healthy, because I mean, having four quality outfielders is not a problem. Especially with a guy like Badu who you easily could platoon if need mm-hmm. be. But I don't know, man. I like their lineup after this trade. So the lineup that I posted, and I could add a variation to this, but what I think their everyday lineup at least should look like is Badu leading off, Grossman batting second, Baez mm-hmm. third, Meadows fourth, Miggy batting fifth, Candelario sixth, Scope seventh, Torkelson eighth, and Tucker Barnhart nine. And I think that's pretty solid. Yeah. And that lineup goes, you know, left, right, switch, and then right, right, switch. So it's a nice combination of left, right. Everyone kind of falls in place, has the right skill set for the position. And then, you know, come All-Star break, theoretically, you can slide Riley Green in there. And now you got flexibility. You know, maybe Robbie Grossman doesn't quite have the same season he did last year. Maybe Akil Badu struggles a little bit. You know, so you've got Riley Green to throw in there too. So I think that this is a great trade. It's obviously great if you're a Tigers fan, because anytime that you're adding quality MLB talent, that's exciting. You know, nobody really gets too excited to trade away Justin Verlander. Nobody gets excited to trade away JD Martinez and, you know, and all these guys. It's more exciting to be on the opposite end of that, you know,
the buyer.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice that we've had a lull of being non-competitive in Detroit. I thought next season would be the year that they really started pushing it. So the Baez signing, the Rodriguez signing, that all made sense to me, as far as we don't want to spend all of our money in one off season. We're going to spend it, you know, we're going to spend some now, we're going to spend some next year. We get Green and we get Torkelson up. We let the pitching marinate for another season. 2023, here we go. You know, we're going to sign another free agent or two, and we're off and running. So making this Austin Meadows trade after getting Barnhart, after, you know, getting Baez, it all of a sudden says we're trying to win now. And I don't know what more you can ask of your team than them trying to win. If it doesn't work out, they don't make the playoffs, so they go, you know, 70-92, I mean, I'm not going to be too mad, because at least we're trying, you know. Kind of matters how you get to that 70-92 a little bit as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so exciting day if you're a Tigers fan. And maybe one day we'll see the Meadows brothers together in that outfield.
Yeah, that's
because cool. I do think that Parker Meadows, I mean, I do think we could see a breakout season from him. That's kind of a guy that I already pegged as having a breakout this year. A lot less room for him in that outfield, you know, now. But Robbie Grossman probably – this probably signals Robbie Grossman being gone when his contract is up at the end of the year. We'll see. It'll be interesting. Good day to be a Tigers fan. So we've got some other teams that have some, you know, excitement that's coming in. And I don't know if it's because of the slight little tweak to the CBA that I think we're seeing a few more of the good prospects, you know, making opening day roster. So we've actually got a nice little list of hitters that we're going to see, you know, either on opening day or at least on the opening day roster. So just to run through some of them, we got Josh Lowe, who we talked about, a byproduct of that Meadows trade. We got Stephen Kwan out in Cleveland. That's nice. Then we got some bigger names. We got Bobby Witt Jr., a guy that could have made the opening day roster last year even. We're going to see him this year. Of course, we talked about Spencer Torkelson a little bit. Tigers are bringing him up as they're trying to win. We got Jeremy Pena in Houston, probably a big reason that Carlos Correa, you know, is not there. They believe in Jeremy Pena. We, of course, you guys know we've got my major prospect crush, Julio Rodriguez. He had an awesome spring, and so we're going to see him, you know, out there with Kelnick in that Seattle outfield. That's awesome. A guy that we've been talking about here the last couple of weeks, Bryson Stott. We're going to see him in Philadelphia. Sounds like he's going to be at third base. So that's a guy that will be interesting to see how he does. Joey Bart, we're going to see without Buster Posey now what he can do behind the plate. And then unofficially, CJ Abrams, we think, is going to be making the Padres. And that is a surprise because when we talked with James Anderson, we all kind of agreed that, boy, it'd be fun to see, you know, Abrams come up. But doesn't matter how good of a spring he has, that's just not going to happen. And it looks like that's going to happen. So of those names or even of any others that you guys, you know, are you know, have seen, who is it that you're kind of most excited about and why?
I'd say Abrams just because it's so uncertain because we haven't – because of the injury. I mean, he's having a good spring. I get that. But just seeing him make that jump to an everyday player – will truly show if he's really this like generational talent that I thought he was 2 years ago, as opposed to after the injury.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually really excited. I mean, it sucks he's on the Royals, but I'm actually excited to see what Bobby Witt can do. Again, like you said, not too much of a surprise that he made the roster. He was kind of long overdue, had an amazing 2021. You know, one stolen base shy of a 30-30 season between Double A and Triple A last year. And an OPS of 936 in that season. So, I mean, this guy's been chomping at the bit, just ready to see. I wish he was in a more stacked lineup, but, you know, I think we could see something possible of, you know, the Royals like to run. We've seen it with Mondesi. We've seen it with Witt. I mean, there's no reason he can't get to probably 30 stolen bases this season. So, I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take the low-hanging fruit, and I won't, but – Julio Rodriguez is the guy that I'm most excited about. I mean, I have been so all in on that guy for a couple years now. And, you know, I was hopeful that we might see him, you know, early this season. I didn't really think that opening day was super realistic. But, man, if he can just carry over a hot spring into the season, boy, oh boy, I mean, with the talent that he has, I mean, we could see a special year from him. Unlikely. But I mean, man, you know, carrying a hot spring right into the beginning of the season, getting his feet wet, getting comfortable, and then just letting loose, that could be a lot of fun. But more so, I think it's probably a guy like a Jeremy Pena that I'm probably most intrigued by because I mean, he really is the reason that Carlos Correa is no longer in Houston.
Right.
I mean, if he didn't exist, you know, they would have re-signed him. And he's going to be in a fantastic, you know, position. He's going to be, you know, hitting in a great order on a great team. Not a ton of pressure on him like there are on some of these other guys because they're not going to rely on him to win games. He's just going to be another guy in the lineup, basically. But, I mean, this kid's got some talent. And I think he could be one of the biggest surprises because I think people just kind of forget about him. and just kind of take him for granted a little bit. And I haven't heard many people talk about him, and you know, we'll see exactly how that plays out for him.
He had a really good spring too. I mean, it's a small sample, obviously, of spring training, but he's hitting 350, got two home runs. So, you know, and I think it may have been even Jesse Roach when he was on here a couple of weeks ago. He kind of touted Jeremy Pena too. So, yeah, you're right. It's an intriguing name to see. I think he could be one of those under the radar type guys that, you know, was taken at the back half of drafts that really becomes like almost like a league winner for you.
And now we don't have nearly as many pitchers. So, I mean, what we really have is we've got a pair of Reds, and we got another Mariner, and then a maybe. So Matt Brash is the guy for the Mariners. You know, excited to see him, you know, make that roster. He had a good spring as well. He's a guy that, you know, had a pretty decent breakout last season, and he has earned his spot. So as a quasi-Mariners fan these days with, you know, all the young guys that they have on that team and, you know, just the collection of talent that they're getting, I'm obviously rooting for the guy. I hope he does well. And then in Cincinnati, you know, they've been selling off pieces left and right, and, you know, they're bringing some up behind them. So we're going to see Hunter Green for sure, and we're almost certainly going to see Nick Lodolo as well. I think, you know, Hunter Green obviously has a higher upside just because he's, you know, he reminds me a lot of Aroldis Chapman, you know, same kind of situation, same team. So it'll be fun to see, you know, what Hunter Green can do if he can stay healthy and if he can control that fastball, because that guy could be absolutely lights out if, you know, things fall his way. And Lodolo's a little bit more, you know, a little bit safer, a little higher floor. But, you know, he's got a very high upside as well. So if they can manage to both pitch well and stay in that rotation once, you know, guys like, you know, Luis Castillo and stuff come back, that could be a fun team, at least on the mound, to kind of, you know, keep track of a little bit.
Yeah, and then
we got a comment here. This must be from Jeff Trella. He says, enjoy Lodolo in 30 for 30, Dave. So I guess I just assumed that Jeff traded me Nick Lodolo in that league. I know that I own him in that league, but I'm not sure if that means I got him from Jeff or not. But if I did, Jeff, I appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate it. Big fan of the show.
Yeah,
and then the other guy. Go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say, just, you know, touting maybe Nick's run a little bit here. Someone we talked about in the Cincinnati rotation is River San Martin is actually scheduled to be in that rotation to start the season too. So, hey, I think that was one of our deep dives earlier in the offseason. Yeah, so good call, Nick.
Nick coming out with somebody I didn't know.
That was my golden nugget for the year. So don't expect much later.
Well, you also pulled Josh Lowe.
I did pull Josh Lowe
as well.
I did.
Let's see. All right. Well, according to Jeff's comment here, it looks like I must have traded JD Martinez to get Nick Lodolo in something. So good on me. Good on me.
Attaboy, Dave.
Thanks. I appreciate it. So the other guy that's the maybe, that's Mackenzie Gore. So it has not again been announced, but he's had a good spring. He has not been assigned to AAA as of now, which is basically the same reason why we're kind of calling the CJ Abrams as well. I don't know that there's a spot in the rotation for Mackenzie Gore, so it might just make more sense for them to put him down. But, I mean, that bullpen is not we were looking at it before the show here, and there's not much for left-handed pitching in that bullpen. Drew Pomeranz is out. They've got Tim Hill, and that's it. So, you know, while there's not a spot for Mackenzie Gore necessarily in that rotation, because their rotation is absolutely loaded. I mean, Darvish, Musgrove, they traded for Manaea, who we'll get to later. They got Blake Snell. Apparently they like Nick Martinez, but they've got Mike Clevenger sitting there as well. So I don't know that there's room in there for him, but, you know, you could see him. I mean, you could see him with his repertoire and, you know, with just, you know, the pedigree he has with that team not having a closer. They've got some potential interesting closing options potentially. And, you know, you could throw Mackenzie Gore in that mix, even if it's a short term, you know, kind of a, you know, Chris Sale kind of a thing, you know, where, you know, that's just how he breaks in. you know, he's got some control issues and stuff. So maybe if he just lets it loose for, you know, 20, 25 pitches, you know, in one inning, maybe he just kind of figures something out, you know, and becomes just this elite closer. Because it's not like they have anyone in San Diego that is established and, you know, in there. They got, I mean, Danielson Lamet's very similar to him, you know, and the fact that he's, you know, never been able to stay healthy and stay in the rotation. But boy, that guy could be a weapon out of the bullpen. So you just imagine Pomerantz and Gore and Lamet, and then they got, you know, Suarez as well in there, who we don't technically know exactly what we're going to see from him, but the dude was a closer overseas and was, you know, pretty elite at that. So the pitching in San Diego is just off the charts. So I know we talked about a lot there, but any further thoughts on some of these rookie pitchers we're going to see?
Yeah, I think just compiling onto that top of that Mackenzie Gore, I think maybe like you're talking about going through a bullpen, and maybe they want to take that, like you said, that Chris Sale and Michael Kopech approach where they want to kind of ease him into the bigs. You know, we've seen him fail and battle injuries in the minors for a while now. So, you know, they probably don't want to just throw, hey, go out there and throw us five innings every 5 days. So that's a good point. They probably do want to maybe bring him in slowly into the bullpen approach. And of those rookies, I think the one that I'm most excited about is Brash. You know, he had a great breakout in 2021. He had like 150 strikeouts in only 97 innings or something like that. So, you know, and again, he's not one of those guys that they're relying on. He's just the fifth starter. He's going to come in there, show what he can, showcase what he can do, and see if he can take that next step. So for me, Brash is the one I'm most excited about.
I'm pumped about Green just because he was on the Sports Illustrated cover at 17. Like, I feel like this has just been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. And he was someone that I, last year or 2 years ago, I'm like, oh, he's just always hurt. And he's like, not going to fulfill what we thought.
Yep,
and now
I agree.
Like, this is like, I mean, he's what, probably like 21 now or like 22. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is like a great, like, comeback story for this kid, but he's still fucking 22. So like, it's going to be great to see what he can do. And the Reds are going to let him go because they got nothing else.
Yeah, he's someone I'm shocked. I'm surprised. I had him pegged as a bullpen piece. Just that two-pitch pitcher with, you know, that flamethrower arm. But I guess Cincinnati still believes in him as a starter. So I'd like to see. I'm intrigued by that as well. See if he can actually go out there and maintain that control as a starter.
Yeah, he's 22, almost 23. And, I mean, I just echo what Nick had said. I kind of had somewhat given up on him just because he's the exact profile of a pitching prospect that I hate, you know, just someone who's out there just throwing, you know, absolute gas, who just seems to always be hurt. So yeah, if I was Cincinnati, I also, just like they did with Chapman, give him every opportunity to be a starting pitcher and not be afraid if they need to pull the plug, which, you know, they did with Chapman. I don't think they gave Chapman nearly as much run as any of us thought. And I don't know if Green's the same. I just have to assume that they're going to treat Green differently and give him the opportunity. And I mean, it would be fun to see him go out there and just pitch well, because he's got that kind of arsenal that if you're a fan of baseball, that he's what you want to watch out there throw. I mean, you know, just a fun young kid out there throwing absolute gas, will be fun. And I definitely am rooting for him, because what I don't want him to do is I don't want him to turn into our next two guys. And that's weird to say, because they're both potential Hall of Fame, you know, pitchers. I mean, Jacob DeGrom probably is a Hall of Famer. Chris Sale, I don't know, but Jacob DeGrom and Chris Sale are perfect examples of why I hate pitching. If healthy, Jacob DeGrom might be one of the top five pitchers of all time, maybe even higher than that.
Yeah.
But he does not stay healthy. I can't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Because I don't know if I'm going to get 30 innings out of him. I don't know if I'm going to get 75 innings out of him. I don't know if I'm going to get 125. All I know is I'm not getting 200. And 200 innings of Jacob DeGrom at his peak would be maybe the best season of all time. I don't know. He's got a stress reaction on his scapula, which, Jason, I think maybe you can explain that a little bit better than what I could.
No, I'm not a doctor by any means, so I'm not quite sure.
We should have brought Nick Savali on. Damn it. Nick.
Oh. I'm about 6 years short of my medical degree.
Nick, by the way. That's my favorite Nick.
His name is missing a letter, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, this is a guy, I mean, like, I think, you know, earlier when we were, you know, in the time of drafting of TGFBI, we saw him fall for this exact reason. Everyone's scared off by the injury concerns. We're now a few seasons removed of him putting in a full season, and here we are again. He's going to miss first 3 months of the season. So everyone that was taking him, oh, you know, I'll take him in the late first or something. It's, well, now you've made the bet, so now you can lay in it. Because this is, I mean, this is getting kind of ridiculous. And then he's even came out and said that he's even frustrated with his injury. So it's not like, you know, it's like his body's maybe over, like, you know, failing him. So, I mean, I don't know what you can do with him at this point.
He's still going to be a free agent, he said, too.
He said, yeah. Someone will give him a lot of money because, mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, if that guy stays healthy. And he's also got something else going for him. Rachel says DeGrom is hot. So, I mean, you can't discount the hot factor. That's for sure. Maybe Atlanta will sign him.
He's got flowing locks.
Rachel's
used to.
An Atlanta Braves fan. So
she can
have his brill gas. Him and Acuna can rehab together.
So I'm reading Savali's thing, like his
diagnosis.
Yes, sure. He noted pain isn't in his posterior shoulder. No idea what that means. This is specifically where the three most rotator cuff muscles travel. These muscles will be unaffected, but will get weaker with inactivity. When he returns, there should be no lingering effects.
Yeah, until he hurts something else.
Yes, but. Yeah. I don't know. Late June, early July. I'll take June. He's still worth it if it's June.
This is why I just wouldn't. I've never owned Jacob DeGrom in anything ever, and I just never would. And it sucks because, like I said.
When he's good, he's good.
Dude throws 200 innings, and we may never see anything like it in our entire life. He'll just never say it. Oh, we got another comment from Rachel. She says. Y'all say, oh, like that after hearing I'm a Braves fan, and we don't want his fragile ass at the moment. Well, first of all, watch your goddamn mouth, Rachel. This is a family-friendly show, so you can cut the cursing. But let's get to another broke pitcher. I'm sure Nick is very happy about the Chris Sale injury, which is a rib injury of all things, so not even his arm. He's got a rib injury. So
yeah.
I mean, Chris Sale is a guy that, again, when healthy, is, you know, an elite pitcher in the league, but he just can't stay healthy anymore. So, I mean, I don't know, Nick. I kind of more interested in your thoughts on this one. It's a little closer to home for you.
So, I'm going to tell you this. This is going to be a good thing for the Red Sox. I have spun this in my head as far as I can. This is good. We're going to get Tanner Houck in that rotation. There's talk about Whitlock piggybacking Michael Wacha, I think. And Michael Wacha's had an awful spread.
Yeah, the less innings of Wacha, the better. That's an addition by subtraction.
If Chris Sale being out until June, July means we see Whitlock and Houck in the rotation for this season, it's going to be it'll do the Red Sox good.
Then maybe they should just trade him.
No.
If you're telling me that the team is better off because they don't have their ace, then why don't you just trade him?
No, he's still going to be good when he comes back.
He's not. Yeah, I'm sure he won't get hurt at all.
You're not going to get anything for Sale anyway right now because he's hurt. But, all right, I think I might be on board with this actually. But still. Yeah.
Trade Sale at the deadline.
Because the rotation right now, not great. It's something that like I thought would be addressed as soon as they signed Story. I was like, okay, they're gonna get a pitcher like a Montas or a.
They still could.
Oh yes, they. Well, not Manaea, but yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. I think they need to address pitching in general because right now it's Eovaldi, who I completely trust. He does get hurt, but he's good.
That's the fact that you trust Nathan Eovaldi says a lot about the state of the Red Sox rotation.
But after that, man, it's Pivetta.
Yep.
And like, he was fine last year. He's fine, but he's not a number two. And then you have Dick Mountain. Nope. Then Tanner Houck. Then
Waka.
What about your guy Cutter starting the season off here for you?
No, I think he's going to be a vital bullpen piece because you know who's not good? Matt Barnes.
Mm.
Anything with an arm right now is making me scared. So I'm very excited about them to hit the ball because they're going to need to score a shit ton of runs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 10-8 victories is what they're going to need to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be very interested in Montas because he's got to be available still.
And we have stuff. Like, especially after seeing what which we're going to get to, the Manaea return was like,
yeah. Yeah, little Jeter Jones.
Or like
there Jeter Downs out there, you know? Get yourself some pitching.
Yeah.
I mean,
even like Bobby, who I love. But like, you can trade Bobby Dalbec to a team for like a good pitcher.
You would think maybe. I mean, with how desperate they need pitching, I don't know if anyone but Cassis is you know, untouchable.
Well, Mayer, but yes.
Oh well, I don't know, man. I don't know what makes him untouchable with how desperate you need pitching and how good your offense is.
Heim.
I mean, that offense is good. I mean, you can't tell me that if somebody wasn't willing to make you, you know, a trade for, if you could get Luis Castillo for Marcelo Mayer, you would be crazy to be like, nah, we're good.
No.
You wouldn't do it?
No, because the price of pitching, all these other trades for pitchers aren't great. Like, the returns aren't like a top 15 prospect. It's like a top 150 prospect.
Yeah, I mean, Sonny Gray was just traded for Chase Petty, who was like the 43rd overall pick last year. So,
and like Sonny Gray.
Luis Castillo is an ace.
Look, I'm in your book. I'm trading a 19-year-old for a guy that's going to come in and be my ace any day. Whether he was drafted first, second, third, or fifth, I don't care.
I don't think Heim would do that.
Well, I mean, and this is just, you know, this is just fun conversation. Good, yeah. But right. I mean, if I was a Padres, then no, I wouldn't do it because I don't need pitching. But if I'm the Red Sox and I've got a good offense, and I'm spending money and I'm trying to win in a very competitive division, and I don't have any pitching, I mean, Marcelo Mayer can kind of go bye-bye because what am I holding on to Marcelo Mayer for? Am I holding on to Marcelo Mayer because Rafael Devers is going to get traded or leave? Am I losing Bogarts? Am I losing Trevor Story? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and we're talking, what, 3 years from now anyways?
I guess.
I mean,
Austin Martin got traded for Jose Berrios.
Yeah.
I guess that would be like a comparable deal. Right? I don't know if there was more to that, but I guess it's possible. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I could just see like a team like the Diamondbacks or something giving up, you know, Zach Gallen and, you know, Mark Melancon.
Yeah.
And you take Mary. I mean, that might be a little light. That's probably not. That's just kind of off the top of my head. Kind of stuff that I'm. Zach Gallen. Who does?
You do, right?
No, I do love Zach Gallen. Yeah, that's kind of why he comes to mind. But it's got to be a team. It's got to be a team like that. You know, a team that isn't really, you know, looking to compete, but has a good pitcher. And I'm just trying to, off the top of my head, just kind of think of some guys that make a little bit of sense. But so anyway, speaking of Sean Manaea, you know, Athletics and Padres, you know, made a trade that moves him over to the Padres. And we just talked about, you know, how crazy that rotation in San Diego is. And man, I'll tell you, if that team can pitch well enough to just kind of hang tight and, you know, stay in contention for at least one of those extra wild card spots, if Fernando Tatis comes back and he's healthy, I mean, boy, what a trade deadline acquisition, you know, Fernando Tatis is coming back to that team. And they're probably not even done yet because, I mean, there's been rumors about, you know, Jose Ramirez going to a couple different teams. I was excited to hear about him potentially going to my Blue Jays, one of my teams that I like. And now we're hearing talks about they are interested in him in San Diego. I mean, holy hell, could you imagine? I mean, for a team that has that much pitching, you know, if they could dump off some of those prospects and acquire Jose Ramirez, boy, that pitching gets healthy at all. And you just get in the playoffs, and now you just need a four-man rotation. Who's got a better four-man rotation than the Padres, if healthy? I don't know who. You throw a healthy Tatis in there, and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, it's tough to beat that team in a seven-game series.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And Minaya, I think, is very underrated because he's kind of, you know, playing, you know, on the West Coast on a team that doesn't get a lot of TV time anyways. You know, I mean, people kind of forget about guys in Oakland. And Sean Minaya, he's not an ace by any means, at least not yet. But that guy, if you go and just take a look at his numbers, I think you go, oh, well, okay, wow, okay, he's pretty good. And the Padres are not afraid to make moves, and they're not afraid to try to win. And I think that you'll see them, you know, all in this year. So a guy like Jose Ramirez makes sense. I don't know who they wouldn't trade to get him.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen Oakland, they kind of almost prefer to get those, you know, quantity over quality type returns. Like, you know, they're not looking to acquire, you know, they're not going to be calling Boston like, yo, give us Marcelo Mayer if you want Montas. You know what I mean? Like, they're looking to get five or six guys that may be low A, you know, humility, some high flyers versus, like, you know, give me Marcelo Mayer. So,
yeah, they want some Gilberto Jimenez's, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's.
I don't even know how to say his name.
I mean, look, like Nick said, look at the Minaya return. It was just, I mean, it was nothing really. So it's like, and I think it's weird that the Padres just continually try to build these like this like super team. Whether it was last year with like all the signings and free agencies, and now they're doing all the trading. If they got Jose Ramirez, I mean, ooh, look out.
Ooh wee,
boy. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be the same thing, though, if the Blue Jays got him as well.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
it's going to be a holy shit.
Well, like, yeah, anybody, yeah. I mean, I think Jose Ramirez is top five player in baseball right now.
Yeah.
He's kind of going to be wasted right now in Cleveland. And, you know, I can just imagine that he would get a pretty decent return. And you put him in a system that does a great job of developing pitching, especially. But also does a good job of developing hitting. So, mm-hmm. I mean, good Lord, you know, if you throw some, you know, if they can get a pretty big top pitching prospect and you throw him on that team, oh boy, I mean, you know, that could be a nice return for somebody who, you know, while he's a great, absolutely great elite player, they're probably going to be in their best interest to try to move him. And, you know, a CJ Abrams would look real nice. You know, yeah, on that team, especially if he's capable of playing the outfield, because they're, I mean, Cleveland is just loaded with prospects, especially on the middle infield. So,
yeah,
CJ Abrams may not exactly be the right spot for him unless he can move over, unless they put him in center field, you know, because that's the spot where they could use somebody. They've got some power bats, but, mm-hmm. you know, if CJ Abrams could develop into a center fielder, all of a sudden, CJ Abrams in what? Get you Jose Ramirez. I don't know where the hell they're going to play Jose Ramirez.
Right.
But I mean, I guess at that point, whatever, I mean, you can turn into like MLB The Show if you want to, and you can say, Eric Hosmer, suck a dick, buddy, because Jose Ramirez is our first baseman now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just probably ridiculous to say, but I mean, you can't put him at third base because you got Machado. I guess you could put him at second base and let like Cronenworth kind of roam the outfield.
I think he plays first too.
Cronenworth. Who does?
Cronenworth.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, he plays a little bit of everywhere, but I'm just trying to think of like, you know, what you do with Jose Ramirez. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. Like I said, you could put him just about anywhere
spot, yeah.
And say your bat is so elite that we'll just put you at second and we'll call it good. I don't know. It'd be interesting. So it would be fun to see Jose Ramirez go somewhere. I'd like it to happen before the trade deadline, just because I think it just opens up the possibility to more teams, even though probably the same teams that are interested in him now would be the same ones interested in him at the trade deadline. But it'd be nice to get him out of Cleveland as a Tigers fan, because he murders the Tigers. but he probably murders everybody. So, you know, probably not fair to say. But, yeah, let him go to San Diego. Get him in the NL. and let's just keep loading up the NL West, boys. Let's just build, you know, let's just get the Dodgers out there and the Padres. And don't forget about the Giants. You know, let's just build up the NL West. Because that doesn't hurt any of our teams, especially Nick and I.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Well, hey, next week when we talk, we will actually have real baseball to talk about. So that probably means we'll have, I don't know, 2-3 no-hitters to discuss.
Yeah.
So that'll be super fun. But, yeah, looking forward to actually, you know, talking about some real baseball stories next week. And it'll be fun and exciting. Hopefully we're not talking about injuries. I have a feeling we're going to have an injury or two we're going to talk about next week. But I really just want to talk about great things that happened.
Great performances.
Absolutely. Hey. All right. Well, hey, everyone that tuned in live, we greatly appreciate it. If you're catching this on a replay, I thank you as well. Please like this on whatever platform that you're watching it on. If you are watching live, you know, you ever want to catch on a replay, anywhere where you get your podcast, that's where you can find us. So throw us some likes, subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. And, boys, we'll see you next week.
Enjoy.
See you, boys. Day.